ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
These particular boys have the reputation within the school for being quite disrespectful and inappropriate towards authority. Talking back, expulsion. I think my son's blindsided. He's been accepted by this crew of boys and there's nothing I can say that will take that away from him.
There comes a time in every parent's life when you're no longer the centre of your child's world. How rude. And instead, they gravitate towards their friends. The annoying thing is we cannot control who our kids like. And, you know, I think you can orchestrate friendships a bit when they're younger, but high school is a different ballgame. And it's hard to accept because who our kids choose to hang out with influences their behaviour and their opinions and the language they use and their attitude at home. Oh my God, the eye rolls. And it's hard not to feel powerless.
I don't know how to navigate him away from these children without sounding like a mother that's just harping on and on about, I don't want you to be friends with these people. There is something about this group of boys that he just thinks they're gods.
Would we call them gods? I'm Bex Sparrow, and in this Parental as Anything Teens, what to do when your kids' friends are bad news.
My son, he's a bit of a shy boy, has always really struggled to make friendships.
Just imagine your once sweet, enthusiastic kiddo gets to high school and then somehow falls in with a group who are infamous for their bad behaviour. And before your eyes, your gorgeous teen starts to morph into a sarcastic, back-chatting kid you don't recognise.
What's happened? He's come to high school. These popular group of boys that are a bit naughty have latched onto him.
Sam, which is what we're calling every parent in this series, is seriously stressed about her teen's new mates.
It's attention for him and he's just gone with it.
And what about his old friendships from primary school? Have you seen him drift away from better, healthier friendships that he's had?
Yeah, he's also stepped away from those and I guess putting these other kids up on a pedestal and he's starting to eye roll and question teachers, which is not my son. He would never generally do that sort of thing. There's certainly been a bit of an attitude change, which I don't like.
And Sam's not the only one worried about her son's new crew.
So the teachers have flagged it with myself and have suggested that the influences of who he's hanging out with are not serving him. And I really just want to help steer him into other friendship groups so that he can see how things can be a little bit different. You know, there's more to friendships than that.
Sam, what changes have you noticed in your son since he started hanging out with these boys?
The boy that I know, that I've raised, has always been such a rule follower. So it has really surprised me to see him and hear that he's pushing back at authority. I just feel like he's going down a rabbit warren of getting in trouble and not focusing on school, not focusing on sport, and not being respectful to authority. It worries me about his future, where he's going to go with this.
So Sam's kid, who's always struggled to make friends, has come to high school and fallen in with the cool kids. But Sam's not finding his behaviour very cool. I feel for Sam. On the one hand, yay, her kid has friends. And that's so important because we don't want our kids to be socially isolated. But, on the other hand, the friends that he has aren't the ones she'd choose in a lineup. So what are we going to do? Well, here to help Sam and, frankly, all of us, is a voice you know well. It's Maggie Dent, parenting educator, author, mum of four, and, of course, host of the first six seasons of Parental as Anything. Maggie, thank God you are here.
It's good to be back.
You don't know how glad I am to see you. Maggie, help us and help this mum. What steps should Sam take, do you think, to steer her son towards friends who are maybe making better decisions?
Okay, so the very first thing, we've got to be careful when we're looking at our teens that we don't look at them through a deficit lens all the time.
So what does that mean?
That means I'm just looking at everything they do wrong. So what I see in amongst this, and we, you know, we have also some other background that he's going to school quite happily. He's playing sport. His grades are okay. He's actually looking forward to these friends, and he's 12. Mm-hmm. His brain is doing some crazy stuff right now. And one of the biggest drivers is connection with friends and peers, right? There's a step back from parents and this hunger to belong somewhere. And yes, we'd love to say, but they're not the right ones.
Mm.
And I have seen over my years and years in high schools that sometimes when a friend looks like or sounds like not what we want our kid with, that's more about us than it actually sometimes is about the kid. Because until the kid is actually harmed by the friendship, the pushback and the inappropriate, that's what they do at this age. They often try to be a bit mouthy and try to be smart.
There's a lot of roasting. This is what I've learned with boys.
The teasing, the banter, it all goes up and up, and some of it is inappropriate. And as long as Sam's got that conversation at home about the line in the sand of what's okay and what's not, so whatever you say, it's not allowed to hurt yourself or hurt others or hurt the world around you. So, you know, sometimes people would not believe what their golden-haired boy would have said in my English classroom, but he did it in the heat of the moment. He did it because he wanted to make his friends laugh. And this is one of the things about boy friendship. Do they laugh? Can they laugh with me? And really, we've just got to let some of this stuff go. Shine a light on what he's doing okay and just go with it, because he may outgrow the friendship, or he just may one day find another boy who he clicks with. It's just one of those things you let roll out to see if he can work out.
So we have to be careful about what we say to our teens about their mates. Thankfully for Sam, she had a little help.
I was lucky enough to have one of my son's teachers address these issues with myself during school pickup, and it opened the gateway for me to be able to have that conversation with my son. And I addressed it in regards to his attitude at school, his attitude towards authority, his attitude towards me in general. I have tried to tap into saying, do you think this is a good choice with these friendships? Do they share the same values as us as a family?
So, Maggie, what do you think of Sam's approach there?
Her job is to not bring it up too much, because if she keeps bringing it up, he's going to keep withdrawing from her, and we don't want that to happen. We want her to be the place that he can come home with or to his dad and say, oh, look, this is what's going on. But if we keep on hammering it because it's the one thing, then you're going to damage a relationship that he's going to need.
And I remember when I was a teenager, if your parents said to you, I don't want you hanging out with that person, they're a bad influence, that just made them more appealing. And you know what else, Maggie, I was thinking, I know what I would have said as a teen. You don't know them.
That's it.
One idea I had is I thought that Sam could also show her son that she's being more open-minded. Instead of going, I don't like these boys, I don't like how you're behaving around them, why doesn't she find out what he actually likes about them? It may be that these boys make him laugh. It could be other kids have said something snarky and these kids have actually stood up for him. That sense of belonging, there could be some great things. Kids aren't all good or all bad.
Exactly.
And I think that what I'm hearing you say as well to the mum is that we're not saying don't be friends with these boys, but instead maybe we want to try and give her son some tools that when she sees these boys who are a bit edgier and they're about to do something naughty, to try and give her son maybe some extra tools of, okay, how can I step back from that situation so I'm not involved in that behaviour because it goes against maybe my values.
Mm-hmm. He can also say, look, I don't know, that's a good idea.
Sam did say that one of the boys had been expelled. It could be they've been doing
criminal stuff.
Well, they could be selling vapes in the bathrooms. It could be a crowd of boys who are actually doing criminal stuff. Do we then try harder?
Yeah. Absolutely. Like I talk about the line in the sand. So those sorts of crazy behaviours of immature boys without a prefrontal cortex who also don't have GABA, which is the impulse inhibitor neurochemical. So their impulses are going to be worse. What they think is going to be funny can be bad. As soon as it crosses over, and I mean, the fact that, you know, you don't get expelled for one thing, there's usually a few of them, but if none of them have actually caused physical harm to anyone or something really criminal, I'd be just tapping along behind and just keeping tabs on it. Don't ever, ever, ever go to punishment because it doesn't teach. And we want this boy to learn that sometimes you're going to run across people in life who kind of make you feel you belong but stick a knife in your back or make fun of you at a moment.
Now, Maggie, let's say things have escalated and you think, that's it, I've got to keep these kids apart. Would you go to the point of going, actually, we're changing schools, or would you? Do you think that's pointless?
Because that takes a long time to get there. What I'd probably be doing is working with the student services team at the school to make sure that I'm getting an accurate picture of what is actually happening in the school space versus outside of school.
Mm.
And then I would put, I would plan with my son.
Are you telling me not to jump to conclusions and assume things?
And also,
it's so easy, much easier to do that.
When we think that changing schools is going to fix everything, you are now taking a teen out of a familiar environment with familiar teachers, and you're going to chuck them into a totally different environment, which is going to amp up their stress. What I would do is work really closely with working with the staff around, is there certain classes where this is happening more? Because they've got school sites, they've got youth workers. So it's not just mum and dad on my case, is someone else is going, hey, mate, you can make some better decisions. And, you know, ultimately, if they hate going to the school for about a myriad of reasons, then I'd be considering maybe another environment might be something better.
But not if they're happy.
No.
If he's happy.
No, if he's happy, yeah. It's the last thing you should do because you're going to tip everything upside down. And he's going to really feel, also, you're making a choice without his autonomy and his input. And that's one of the biggest lessons. It sounds crazy, but that's a big driver in adolescence is, do I have, is my voice being heard? Am I really being seen for who I am right now? And are you working with me to help me be a better person? Or are you just telling me how to do it?
God, it's annoying that you make sense.
Oh, God.
It's so much easier being judgmental. Okay, Maggie, we haven't yanked any kids out of school. Boring. So what kind of scaffolding can parents put around kids if the friendships continue?
So again, they can hang out with people who they have a good time with. They might share the same funny stuff, but if they cross over into using too much sexist language or something, that's the place where parents need to go, hang on a minute.
Mm.
I just heard the language coming out of the bedroom while you were playing. That's not okay in our house. So if I hear it again, you will lose some time on that. I need you to know that might be the banter going on in the game, but you do not have to join it because that's not in our family.
Would you ever, here's a question, would you ever say that to all of the kids in the room if you've got friends over, or would you wait and...
No, I have. I have done.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I have stepped in and said, that's not what we have in our house here. I'm sorry, if you want to do that, don't come again.
Now, Maggie, I'm glad you brought up house and family rules because that's a really tough one when we're not sure about the houses that we're sending our kids to. And Sam's struggling with this one too.
I guess when we did initially start having a couple of little play dates, if you like, or the boys hanging out over the weekend when the friendships were just kicking off, not wanting to sound very judgmental at all, but I was very quick to realise that we also are not aligned in the nicest possible way.
You have no idea as a parent what on earth that other family has as their family values, rules, boundaries in place. How do we navigate that? Are we meant to just accept the fact that we have no control and that we just have to teach our kids how to navigate those situations? Or should we be saying to the other parents, what are your rules around access to the internet or whatever?
We're not saying not forever, but we're just going to say, look, I'm not really happy that that feels right for us and our family. I'm not going to bag the family because we don't really know what goes on, but the very fact that they seem to be either on at all hours or playing games that your kids don't have access to because there are sort of boundaries around age, I think that's exactly our job as a parent. But I also am very cautious that We do it as discreetly as possible because we don't know what's going on in another person's home. We don't know, right? But what we're saying is, I feel more comfortable with you at this age until you've got much better skills around navigating things to have the play date here or in a public place.
Look, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, if you are listening to this, that says to me you are an engaged parent. And therefore, I would be saying, you be the person who has the house that hosts the kids. Because if you're an engaged parent, that says to me you're trying to have eyes in the back of your head and going, okay, I'm going to make sure that I know if they're near the computers what they're doing or what they're looking up or if they're making, you know, I know with girls making prank phone calls or filming TikToks, whatever it is. So I'm just going to put that out there. Yep. There is great value in being the household that has the other kids come over if you are the engaged parent. And yes, I know it means that you might be spending a fortune on snacks and having to drive people home and all of that, but it pays off. It pays off. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I cannot stress how important that is, because what also happens is that engaged parent, you then become a kind of lighthouse figure for the kids whose parents are either unavailable. And you can say to them, hey, mate, you know, your hair's got a lot of grease. You really need to give it a wash, right? Because they're probably not listening to their parents, right? And they'll go, yeah, it's a bit greasy, eh? Or if they're dropping a few F-bombs and you'll just go, no, look, can we cool that bit? Because we're not their parent. However, we're showing we care. Doesn't matter whether it's around alcohol, sex, blooming, you know, risky things. Don't just watch out for your own teen.
Yes.
Please watch out for each other's teens, because one day you might not be around and someone's going to watch out for yours as well. And so those sorts of things, can we get a bit more of it and a circle around our teens so that when they muck up, there's just someone who's going to give them that ride home.
Look, it's so true, Maggie, because it's about being a bit less judgy.
Totally.
And more accepting that we're talking about kids.
Yeah.
And maybe your child's friends haven't had the benefit of the type of household that your kids are growing up in. And I agree with everything that you're saying. Oh, you know what? You and I, we should be solving all the world's problems. I'm just putting that out there. So, Maggie, I mean, can we really force our kids to be friends with other people?
No.
No, you can't, can you?
No, if you haven't tried it, it doesn't work.
And I think as well, something that I often say to parents is, if possible, I really want kids to have friendships outside of the school bubble, because even with the best kind of friend at school, it usually goes pear-shaped at some point. So I think having friends outside of school, whether it's your cousins, friends from kindy, primary school, family friends, neighbours, but it's just a reminder to you that when things are going pear-shaped at school, that you are likable and other people like you.
And you're all in one basket.
Yes. Don't put all of your friendship eggs in one basket. I think that's really important.
I think it's a brilliant idea. And I think we need to know that this is all a part of growing up. And there will be some days that it's just not going to go very good, and other days where your kids can't wait and they're so excited because of something that's happening with a friend, and that we've just got to ride the roller coaster, don't we? So let's go back to Sam, the mum that's really worried about this, and just say, look, honest to goodness, she's doing such a good job with her son. He's doing really well in all sorts of areas that we can look at in terms of his resilience and his capacity to participate, and he's having a go. And you know what? He's having some fun with some friends, with possibly the first time in his life. I want you to celebrate that. I really do.
Absolutely. Gold star for having a child who started high school who wants to go. I mean, well done. And her son's doing really well. And these tricky friendship moments, they're going to happen to all of us. So we're just learning how to glide around and navigate our way through. But she's doing brilliantly. And the fact that she even wrote in to us with this concern says that she's super engaged.
Yeah.
So the world would be a better place if we had lots of parents who were super engaged as she is.
And also holding that fierce, unconditional love. That's what every teen needs.
Well done, Sam. Oh, it was so good to have Maggie Dent back for this one. Now, let's go over a few takeaways. Firstly, take a step back and have a think about just how naughty, and I'm using air quotes around that word, just how naughty these kids really are. Let's think about this. Boundary pushing and rule breaking are kind of a normal part of the teen years. And your kid might grow out of these behaviours and these friendships without much intervention from you. And if anything, the more you get involved and try and split up the friendship, the more likely your child will run towards that friendship with open arms. So instead, try to find out what they like about these kids. This is an opportunity for you to connect with your child rather than to push them away. Secondly, if you're not comfortable with the kind of parenting that's happening at these other kids' houses, you might need to have them over at your place. Make your house the place where all the kids hang out. Show them the kinds of things that fly and don't fly under your watch. Finally, if things are actually taking a darker turn, then you'll need to draw a firm line. Those friendships can stay at school, but they cannot spill out. Encourage your kid to find friends in other places outside of school. Remember, don't put all your friendship eggs in one basket. If you need help with your teens, send us an email to teens@abc.net.au and make sure you follow us on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast was recorded on the traditional lands of the Turrbal and Yagara peoples. Parental as Anything Teens is mixed by Anne-Marie de Bettencourt. It's produced by Hannah Riesch and Josie Sargent. The supervising producer is Tamer Cranswick and Alex Lolbach is the executive producer.
Hey, I'm Sana Kadar and I host a podcast called All in the Mind. And if you've ever wondered how our brains work or why people behave the way they do, you'll love All in the Mind. It's a psychology podcast that explores everything from mental health to artificial intelligence, with topics like how our brains interpret fantasy novels, what psychological techniques scammers use, and what it's like living with bipolar disorder. Find All in the Mind on the ABC Listen app.